You well?
Yes.
Good. And you're awake?
Yes.
Good. You chose to come to church rather than go to the seaside, which is good. It's a good start. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me and the cross before me. Just to pick up on something that Ken said. It is Ken, I think, earlier. The world has nothing to offer you. There is no other way but Yahweh, God's way. Okay? And when Jesus taught about his body and his blood, the disciples of that day, some of them said, this is a hard teaching. And it says that some of them turned away. And Jesus, in that moment, looked at his disciples and said, are you going to desert me? And Peter said something very profound. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One, the Christ of God. In other words, Peter was saying, there's nowhere else to go but you. Because once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, everything else tastes bitter. So whoever you are, whatever you're challenging or facing, picking up on what Ken's rhema word, his prophetic word is, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No matter how steep it may be, how rocky, how tough, how rough, whatever the storm, we sang it, I will soar above the storm. And the Lord will, as you will see today, break through in your situation. And that's going to be the word of the Lord for you today. Break through and break out.
Amen.
So, you might remember, if you were listening, if you've got a good memory, last time I was here, I spoke on the re-Christianisation of the UK. And I used Habakkuk 3 to kind of tie that in with where we think the church is today in this nation and where the Lord wants to take us. Breakthrough and break out. So if you have a Bible, the Bible still comes in print, by the way. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I like holding a book. I know the Kindles are great, don't get me wrong and all that, but there's something about holding a book for me. It's particularly the Word of God. That's not a judgment. It's each to their own. But the sales of Waterstones, I believe, has not dropped since the Kindle. In fact, I think they still go up. So books are still in fashion, so to speak. So if you have a Bible, 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5. Verse 17, and I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter, which is verse 25. I'm reading from the NIV, as the brethren used to say, the non-inspired version, but it is inspired. Verse 17 of 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. And in my Bible, it's David defeats the Philistines. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Yahweh answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went to Baal Perazim, which means the Lord of breakthrough. Or in some translations, the Lord of breakout or the Lord overwhelms. And there he defeated the Philistines. He said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of Yahweh, and he answered, do not go straight up, but circle round behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. The Lord of breakthrough. You know, just listening to different podcasts and listening to different preachers, Technology is wonderful, isn't it? You don't have to be at a church. You can hear preachers from all over the nation, in fact, all over the world. But one thing that comes through from all the different strands, flavors of Christianity, as I choose to use that term rather than denominations, the different flavors of Christianity is this, that we are, in this nation in particular, on the verge of breakthrough. We're on the verge of breakthrough. Now, whatever the media may be telling you, because the media shape the news, they don't report the news. They tell you what they want you to hear. They want you, and they prophesy lies to you. They tell you that the church is in decline. Maybe in the established church, perhaps. But actually, the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation, and particularly globally, is growing at a rate that it's never grown before. In the near 1900, there was one Christian for every 27 people. Today, it is estimated globally, there's one for every five. And that's truly born again believers, not people who just profess Christianity, not nominal Christianity, one in five. You can see the church is growing. The Lord wants to break through in order to break out. And some people say that this year is a year of breakthrough and next year is the year of breakout. It's funny. It coincides with us coming out of something next year, doesn't it, as a nation? We break out of something, a block of countries that we are no longer going to be part of. Now, that's not a political statement. That's just an observation. But the Lord can use remain or leave, whatever, to bring about his kingdom. And I believe that God is using that for our advantage. He's not forgotten the faithfulness of our forefathers. We often see the last 20 years. God sees the last 1900 years and the faithfulness of this nation. And remember, mercy triumphs over judgment. And I believe that God is going to have mercy on this nation, even though we probably deserve something else. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. So when you hear the news, be careful what you listen to. Because often these false spirits are prophesying lie to you through the channel of media. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you put your eyes to. You can't help what you see, but you can help what you look at. And be careful, because the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be self-controlled and alert, standing firm in the faith. Because remember, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Breakthrough and breakout. And in David's experience, the Lord broke through for him. And he defeated his enemies. It's interesting that Dave mentioned in the notices about this prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come initiative, where people from all different flavors of Christianity are being encouraged to pray for people who don't know yet the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, in his quote, said, pray for these people, come Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And that's what we need, guys. We need a move of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen in our lifetime. There's a crack in the dam, and that dam is going to break soon, and the flood of the Spirit of God is going to flood this nation. That's a prophetic statement. You can weigh that up or not, believe it or not. But I believe the word of the Lord is, I'm about to break through and break out into this nation. And I'm going to send something you've never seen before. Waves of mercy. I am going to work from John O'Groats to Land's End in a way that you've never seen before. The last noted revival in this nation was in the Outer Hebrides in 1949. It's a bit like a bus. Would you one? There should be one along in a minute. Next year is 70 years. Maybe. Maybe the Lord is lining it all up. Tomorrow, somewhere is 70 years of age. Israel. 70 years of age tomorrow. The Lord is moving. And if you want to know where we are in biblical terms, in regards to the end times, just take a look at Israel. Take a look at what's happening there. Because the Bible speaks constantly. Can a nation be born in a day? It was. 70 years ago. The Lord's coming soon, guys. He is. I don't know, and I'm not going to stand here and say it's going to be this date, this year. That's false prophecy, because no one knows the day or the hour. But behold, I am coming soon. Is that this year, next year, in 10 years? I don't know. But I tell you what, we need to be ready. Because I don't want to be a foolish virgin. I don't want to be sat there with no oil in my lamp. I want to be ready. If he does come today, if he comes next year, if he comes in 20 years, I want to be ready. The Lord is about to break through and break out. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, we were on Monday. It was a beautiful day, was it not? If only every summer's day in the UK was like Monday. We went to Stourhead. And some of you who are National Trust members will know how beautiful Stourhead is. And I wandered off. I was looking for Alex and Molly, actually. They'd wandered off and we couldn't find them. So I was wandering through the garden, funnily enough, walking through a garden, and God spoke to me. That rings a bell, doesn't it? Walking, it wasn't in the cool of the day, it was hot. And the Lord said to me one thing, checkmate. Checkmate. Anyone play chess? Understand the rules of chess? This is just for you then, because everyone else is going to go... So the Lord showed me a chessboard with lots of different pieces. Now, for you guys who don't play chess, each chess piece moves in a different way. A bishop moves diagonally, a rook can move up and across. What's the point? The point is this. The Lord said all the different strands of Christianity, all the different denominations, the Baptist, the Methodist, they are mine. But they all move in different ways. Don't judge your brothers and sisters in Christ. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. See, the Lord says, I'm moving all. You know, the bishops, we'll take that as the Anglican church, shall we? Because it's bishops. They move diagonally. You're the charismatic Pentecostals. You're the rooks. You move in a different way. The knights are the Methodists. They might not have the same revelation as you. They might not worship the same as you. But they love Jesus. There are different pieces in God's chessboard. But you know what? The Lord's moving them all. At his rate and his speed. By Kingdom Come Initiative, they're all moving in different ways. But if you play chess, you'll know that each part has a part to play in bringing the king, the other king, into checkmate. And that's what I believe we're doing and we're seeing. The Lord was saying, I believe, I'm moving my church and all the different strands of Christianity to bring the enemy to checkmate. And anybody who knows chess, which you do, a grandmaster chess player is one who uses the moves of his opponent against himself. The enemy is playing into God's hands. Checkmate. The church, not just you guys, not just charismatic evangelicals, but the Baptists, the Anglicans, even the born-again Catholics are moving into position to bring the enemy into checkmate. Breakthrough, break out. Checkmate. And that was walking through Stourhead. Great. If you've never been, I encourage you, go. It's beautiful. So back to our passage. It says, David conquered the enemy. Now, the enemy came in full force against David. The Philistine army came against David. Now, if you read back further in that chapter, David had just saw some great victories and some great advancements. He'd basically been made king over Israel after many years of being anointed. It took many years for him to finally get to his seat of authority. Maybe God has spoken a word into your life. I said, you're going to be X, Y, and Z. And you're still waiting, like David, from the time he was anointed by Samuel as a boy to when he was actually made king. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. It won't delay. It will happen at the right time. If God has spoken a word over your life and has called you and anointed you for a particular ministry, the word of the Lord will not return to him void. It will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it in your life. Don't let the enemy come at you in full force and try and rob you. Because he will. He'll try. But it's interesting here. It says that when that happened, David, where did he go? He went into the stronghold. Now, often we think of strongholds as in the strongholds of the enemy. We've got to demolish them. But in this scenario, David went into the stronghold to seek the Lord in the secret place. And that's where your true spiritual victory takes place. Jesus said, when you pray, what do? Go into your room, shut the door, and what you do in secret, your Father will reward you for. Pray. The true victory and breakthrough comes in the secret place. David went into the stronghold and he inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Often we can be very presumptuous. We charge at something, and actually we need to seek the Lord. And we'll see actually that on one occasion, the Lord says, yep, go. And on the next occasion, when the Philistines come, he says, whoa, slow down. Don't go straight up this time. Circle around. And when you hear the sound of marching, then advance. Now, what will happen often is we'll get a victory. The enemy will disperse like the Philistines. And you know what? The enemy comes back for another go. He keeps coming back. We're not going to talk too much about him. Christians talk far too much about the enemy. He's a defeated foe. Hallelujah. Jesus said, it is finished. The cross has secured our victory. His blood, Jesus, and his resurrection, we are saved. So let's not talk too much about the one who lost it and fell because, well, he took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what the enemy will do sometimes is come back after he's been defeated and spread himself out. Try and make himself look bigger than he really is. He tries to intimidate you. Like the Philistines did here. It says, they came back and spread out. They tried to intimidate David. But David knew his God. And he knew that the Lord had broken through for him before. And you know what? The Lord was going to break through for him again. But what David didn't do is presume. I won it the victory last time by going straight out against the enemy. This time David said, right, Lord, this time what should I do? Should I go straight out as before or should I wait? And the Lord says, wait, don't go straight up. Different tactic this time. And we need to be careful that we don't presume. Jesus, when he healed people, you'll notice that often he didn't use the same methods. Sometimes he spat on mud, put it in their eyes. Other times he just gave a word. When he healed the official's son, he wasn't even anywhere near the place. He just gave the word and from afar he was healed. Other times he laid hands, etc. And Jesus said, the son can do nothing by himself. Only does what he sees the Father doing. John 5, verse 19. And we need to be the same as Christians. We need to be in that close walk and fellowship and intimacy, in the stronghold, in the secret place with God. Lord, in this situation, I know you're going to break through for me. Whether that be finance, relationships, whether that be jobs, whether that be university places, whether that be our children coming home because they've wandered off, the prodigals. We need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I've seen you break through before. I've seen you secure the victory for me before because Jesus has secured that victory at the cross. But this time, how do we go about it? Similar situation, similar set of circumstances. But Lord, am I to take the same approach? Or is there a am I to wait? It was a green light straight away before. Is there an amber light this time? Am I to wait? Seek the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So David followed the instructions and the Lord, it said, broke through on his behalf and defeated the Philistines on the first occasion and the second occasion. Now, how do we as the church break through? And how do you and I, as one of the living stones of the church, And by the way, if you don't know Jesus yet, you're not a living stone. Okay? But today is the day of salvation. And if you hear his voice, today you can come. And Jesus says the invitation, come. Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and drink from the waters of life that I give. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. So the call is today for salvation, as well as for us who have walked with Jesus maybe a year, 10 years, I don't know, 50 years. I don't think anybody here is that old, but this call today is for salvation, as well as breakthrough. So how do we break through? How do you, as an individual, how do I break through in my circumstances? You know, we have a next door neighbour. We're very blessed. We have really good neighbours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't have Neighbours from Hell, that horrible programme on TV. We have really good neighbours. And the neighbour next to us is a young lady. She's a doctor. She knows and loves Jesus. She's born again. She speaks in tongues and all the rest of it. She goes to a high church. And yet she moves in the gifts. It's wonderful to see that. You know? And I've come back to the different strands of Christianity. Let's not judge her. She operates in the high church, which some of us would feel really uncomfortable with, and yet operates in the gifts of the Spirit. It's marvelous to see. You know, she said to me, she said, talking over the fence, which you do, you know, we're really challenged in our church. I've been talking to lots of Christians about breakthrough. Oh, there you go again. Breakthrough. Now, I've been challenged to pray in tongues for 15 minutes a day for 6 weeks to see a breakthrough. Now, some of you, again, may not speak in tongues, but it's a gift there. We're not going to go into that this morning. We can pray for you, etc., if you know and love Jesus. But she said, will I challenge you, Mark, to do the same? And I'll take up that challenge. Great. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. One way we can use the weapons of warfare that we have. We can sing. We can pray in tongues. And I encourage you to do that. When you're driving along in the car, it's very difficult to pray with your mind. Pray in the Spirit. So how do we break through? Well, imagine over here, this is your natural life. This is your soul life. This is your will, your emotions, your mind, your personality. Over here is your spirit. This is the part of you that can commune with God. Now, if you're not a Christian here today and you don't know and love the Lord Jesus and you're not truly born again, this part of you is dead. But God said, I want to breathe the breath of life into you in repentance of your sin and faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And this part of you, the spirit that can commune with God, will come alive in you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is the only one who can bring about salvation. This is the spirit, man or woman. This is your soul life. See, over here, this is your soul life. In here, this is your natural life. And some Christians say, well, there must be something good in my natural life, in my soul life. The Bible says there is nothing good in this here. It's tainted by sin. You know, you can run a church from over here. You can know the Bible over here. You can be ordained. You can be whatever over here. But God says, I don't want you to operate from here. I want you to operate from here. I want you to pray in the Spirit. I want you to prophesy in the Spirit. I want you to preach in the Spirit. I want you to advance in the Spirit. Your own spirit? No, the Spirit with the Holy Spirit in conjunction together. Romans 8:27 says, in the same way, we don't know what to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us with words and groans. This is where we're going to break through. Now, often as Christians, what happens is we're here, and then we're here, and then we're here, and then we're here, and we're going between the two. And what God says to us is, I want you to be people of the Spirit, the way of the Spirit. Jesus always ministered from here. He prayed all night, chose his disciples. He was constantly in prayer. I only do what I see my Father doing. He was constantly here. Yes, he was perfect. He had an advantage on us. He was without sin. But Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You know, and there are men and women of the past that have operated from here. Ever been to a meeting and they're doing exactly the same things as us, but there's no life? They're saying exactly the same things, reading exactly the same Bible, singing the same songs, and yet something's missing. Because maybe, just maybe, it's all happening from the place of the natural. It's not happening from the place of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is allowed to move and do what he does best. Convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, and to set you and I, the captives, free. You know, we're saved, but some of us are not living free. And we need to walk in freedom and in purpose. You know, salvation, yes, it is about the fact we're secure from heaven. But it's not just about that. God has set you free here and now and saved you so that you can fulfill the purpose of God here on earth, and then you can go to heaven. You have a purpose to play now. You're not sat in some spiritual waiting room with a ticket waiting for your name to be called. You have a job and a purpose in the body of Christ. You are called for purpose. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And you and I need to be in a place here in the Spirit. The Lord wants to break through in our lives and move us from here to here. Whatever it takes, I've said to Jesus, and that's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? Whatever it takes, Lord. You know, someone once said, Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. It's true, right? Some of the songs that we sing, be very careful what we say in worship. The songs are great, don't get me wrong, Bethel Hill songs, some of the songs that come out, they're amazing, aren't they? They're anointed. You know, Matt Redman, they've got a gift of writing songs, putting it to, I couldn't do that. Blank bit of paper, I wouldn't have a clue, you wouldn't be able to sing it. It's dreadful, I don't have that ability. So I admire it, but I don't envy it. But be very careful what you sing. Because Ecclesiastes 5 says, stand in awe of God. Guard your steps to the house of God. God is in heaven, you are on earth. Let your words be few. Don't make a vow and not fulfill it. God says it's better for you not to make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. For I take no pleasure in fools. Don't sing something you don't mean. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Yeah, really? God will call you to account. I know I can't sing, but hey. I surrender all. I surrender all. Do you? God says, right. You've just said that, and your words have power. The power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Your words can build up. They can destroy. They also can lead you into sin. Be careful. Don't make a vow to God. Because he knows already mine. He's not saying it in judgment. He wants you to surrender all. Wow, when we do that, boom, we're over there. Hallelujah, God says. Poof, I can work with this. Breakthrough. God wants to break through. Not only in your spiritual life, but in your circumstances. Some of you are struggling with circumstances, and you are praying, and I can't remember who said it, you are praying and praying and praying, and God says, keep going. The answer will come at the appointed time. I will break through and I will break out into your children's lives. I will break through and break out into your finances. I will break through and I will break out in your university. And so on and so on. The Lord will do it. He is Baal Perazim, the Lord who breaks through, breaks out and overwhelms. He can do it. He is not limited by time and space, but he is limited by your faith, because he will only act on faith. And according to your faith, it will be done to you and I. Jesus said, it's your faith. God is not limited. We limit him. Faith is what moves God to action. And the prayer offered in faith. Pray in faith. Believe in God, you can do this. You call the stars into being. He knows the stars by name. Do you know that the Lord knows every insect in the field? How? What? He knows every single creature in the field. And he says in Psalm 50, they're all mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because the world is mine and everything in it. We worship a powerful, almighty God. Let's not limit him by our finite minds. He is awesome. The Bible says he is awesome in glory, majestic in holiness, and the worker of what? Wonders. If he can feed the Israelites for 40 years so their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell, and he fed them for 40 years, millions of Israelites, he can break through for you and I. Don't fix your eyes on your circumstances. Fix them on Jesus. That's the law of the personality. We will become what we fix our eyes upon. And the enemy knows that. And if we look at our circumstances, the devil will spread them out like the Philistines. And he'll say, look how intimidating it is. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Don't look at that. Look at me. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And I will break through and I will break out into your situation. And I will do things that would take you 10 years. I will do it in a day. If I can bring Israel to pass in one day, you can be reborn 70 years ago. I can break through and break out in your situation. The flood of my mercy will flow. Faith. Let's have faith in what God is doing. In your life, in the church, but also in this nation. The Lord wants to break through and break out. You know, who drives here? I drive very badly now, I think. After 20 or so years, I think you pick up so many bad habits. I think if I took my test again, I'd probably fail. You do though, don't you? I don't know about you. Maybe I need to repent of that. Anyway. So the Lord gave me a picture. Often in the Old Testament, and I'm not saying I'm an Old Testament prophet, I'm not saying that. Amos was, what's that? The Lord said to Amos, what's that? What's a basket of fruit, Lord? Jeremiah, what's a boiling pot, Lord? Oh, it's tilting from the north. You know, and often, sometimes, God will show you a picture like he did with the chessboard on Monday. So a couple of weeks ago, he gave me the picture of a gearbox and a car. And I thought, wow, what's that all about? And there were six gears. Okay. The Lord said, what's that? I said, what's a gearbox? What gear is it in? Third. Okay, it's in third, right? There's six gears. And I felt the Lord say this. My church is in third gear in the spirit. There are more gears. Then you'll see the breakout that you are praying for. And then interestingly, a seventh gear appeared. And the Lord said, six is man's number, seven is my number. The number of perfection, completeness and fullness. And he said, even those churches today, it's not a criticism, but an observation. The Lord said, they're operating in sixth gear. They think they're in the top gear. But there's another gear. That's when you see revival. That's when you see breakthrough and breakout. That's when you see me move in power like you read about in the revivalists, the John Wesleys, the Smith Wigglesworths, those people. And the Lord said, only a handful of my people in the last 1900 years have ever operated in seventh gear in the spirit. Only a handful. Only a handful. Now, you don't normally go from third to sixth, do you, in a car? You lose power, don't you? It starts, goes a bit funny, doesn't it? So the Lord's got us on a bit of a journey, I believe, as individuals, but as a church, nationally. He wants to take us up through the gears, smoothly and in his time. Not being presumptuous. David wasn't presumptuous. Lord, what do you want to do? What do we need to do? Do we need to pray and fast more? I believe the Lord's saying, that's great, but I want you to live a fasted life. That's another level. You can pray and fast for a day and then, that's done. Right, let's get back to it then. I believe the Lord wants to see his church live a fasted life. Some things in our life are permissible. They're not sin, but the Lord may say, whatever it takes, that time over there you use for that, I want you to use it for me, to seek my kingdom. I believe the Lord's doing that within his church. He's calling people within the body of Christ. Are you ready to take it to the next level? Are you ready to go up through the gears of the Spirit? Do you want to go from third to fourth? From fourth to fifth? To sixth? And then seventh? Well, we're soaring in the Spirit. We're not doing anything, really. We just turn up. God does the rest. We do that, and he does everything else. That's what it means when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to get there. Whatever it takes. If it costs me my career, absolutely. If whatever it takes, I want to walk in that. And I don't say that boastfully. I boast in him, the Lord. I want to do that humbly before the Lord. To see him break through and break out. I'm tired of Christianity, which excludes the Holy Spirit. Religion that excludes Jesus. Let's face it, religion without the Holy Spirit is boring. But Christianity with the Holy Spirit is allowed to do his job. Unlimited access. Wow. That's amazing. That's where we see. We don't chase the miracles and the experience, but that's when we see it. And I want to get there. Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You know, there's a wonderful song at the moment. I talked about songs. There's a new album that's come out. It's called There Is More. I think it's Hillsong's. Yeah? They're all nodding. Who Am I? And stuff like that. There's a song on there. It's called New Wine. Incidentally, who's going? I am. Going for the week. Praise the Lord. I'd like to give a wonderful testimony. Me and Anna don't like camping. I mean, that's just preference, choice. You know, we prayed, Lord, we really want to go for a week. You know, we need a caravan, etc. So we've been given a caravan for free. Praise God. That's amazing, isn't it? So if you all get wet in your tent, you come and stay with us. I'm not sure how big it is. I haven't seen the caravan yet. That's aside. But New Wine's great. If you get the opportunity, even for one day to visit, go, please. It's wonderful. And I'm not on commission. I don't get commission for people going. But it's a wonderful place to have fellowship, to seek the Lord. But Jesus wants to bring new wine out of you and I. He wants to bring new wine out of the church. And one of the songs on that album is, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Lord, I came here with nothing. All you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. And that's what he wants to do. He wants you to produce the new wine over here, in the Spirit. You must be born again, first of all. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. The Bible is very clear about that in Romans 8, verse 8. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. That's quite interesting, actually. I'm going to ask, I don't know, maybe some of you know this. I think that's probably one of the most important things that Jesus said. And yeah, he said it to one man at night, Nicodemus. You must be born again. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. New wine coming out of us here, the Spirit. Wow, I want it. I want the new wine to flow from me. And Jesus, I believe, in his first miracle, in John chapter 2, when he went to a wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine, Mary looked at the servants and said to them, we all know the story, do whatever he tells you to do. And I'm saying to you, and I believe the Lord is saying to you and I, do whatever I tell you to do. No matter how illogical, irrational it may seem, stand and act in faith. Mary said to the servants at that wedding, you've run out of wine. It looks impossible. Tesco's is shut. They didn't have Tesco's. There's no wine. Now, that was an embarrassment. In those days, in that culture, that would have been a huge embarrassment for the host. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you in your prayer life. Pray for whatever he tells you to pray for, because then you are praying in the Spirit. Pray for such as, I hadn't seen them for years, Lord. Just pray for them. Don't bring your shopping lists. Bring the prayers that the Spirit of God wants us to pray before the throne. Because we have boldness, don't we, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We're able to approach that throne of grace. We're able to bring the prayers of intercession. But when we pray in line with the Spirit, it gets answered because it's the Spirit. That's what we want. New wine. New fruit. You know, do whatever he tells you, Mary said. They filled those jars to the brim. You know, and in our lives, we are jars of clay. The Bible says that very clearly in 2 Corinthians. We have these treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know, those jars at that wedding feast, they were ceremonial washing jars. People would have come, they would have washed. Those jars would have been full of all sorts of different kinds of muck. Camel poo, can I say that in church? Yeah, camel poo, everything. It's the Middle East. If you've been to Israel, I haven't. I've been to Egypt, you get dirty. They would have been full of muck. Your lives before you came to Jesus was full of the muck of sin. It was vile and detestable. But you know what? Jesus says, guess what? I've poured the water of my Spirit into you. I want to fill you up with the water of my Spirit. And not only do I want to do that, but I want to take new wine out of you. I want that water of my Spirit, this full to the brim, to transform over here into new wine. And you know what? When they took the new wine to the master, the host of the banquet, he tasted it and went, wow, this is amazing. Most people bring out the good wine first, and when everyone's, excuse the paraphrase, when everyone's plastered, we bring out the cheap wine. You've saved the best till last. That's exactly what the Lord has done. He has saved the best till last. You ever been to a firework display? You'll notice at the end of the firework display, the best fireworks come out. Do they not? You'll see it at New Year's Eve. Big Ben. At the end, it's fantastic, isn't it? Boom, 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 boom. And I believe God has saved the best fireworks till last. He has saved his best till last. The best fireworks are to come in the kingdom. We have seen nothing yet. We are going to see a sovereign move of God, and the firework will light up the sky. The best fireworks, the Lord says, my best fireworks, I've saved till last. The latter day rain, you have and I have a part to play. That new wine is going to flow out of the church. Now, you don't want to miss that. Don't hold back. Move in faith. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. I don't want stagnant vinegar tasting wine. No one wants that. It's religion. No one wants that. The world looks at that and says, that's rubbish. It's boring. Please, don't give me that. Give me something with life. Does it work? Is it true? Yes, it does. But it's the dynamic of the Holy Spirit with our spirits moving through the church, producing new wine. Some of you are probably standing there thinking, what is he talking, sitting there thinking, what is he talking about? I don't even know Jesus. I'm not even a Christian. I don't even know the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Well, today is the day of salvation. And Jesus says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus also said, whatever the Father has given to me, whoever the Father draws to me, I will never drive away. You know, we live in a culture presently that says, well, you can't say that. That offends this. You offend that person. You can't say practically anything anymore. So we need to contest. We need to stand and contend for the gospel, which says, and which our author and perfecter of our faith said himself, I am, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't care what political correctness says. The truth is then, it is now, and it will be forever. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, the way. There is no other way to be reconciled, to be right with God. So I speak against that spirit of political correctness this morning in the name of Jesus. It tries to undermine the faith of our forefathers, but also tries to undermine our faith. New wine in the Spirit. That's where we need to be. Going back to our passage very quickly, because we're coming to a close, and I know you need to be out of the building very soon. David went into the secret place, sought the Lord, inquired of him, what do you want me to do, Lord? Wait, go. And the Lord said, because you've been obedient to me, I will break through and I will break out in your situation. And I believe that's the word of the Lord to you as an individual today, but also to the church at large. I want to break through and break out in your set of circumstances. Look at me, inquire of me, and I will show you the way to go. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Yahweh knows it all. He knows it all. Sorry, Yahweh is the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. He knows it all. It's interesting. At this point, you stand here and you think, Holy Spirit, what do I do next? Because you never know where it's going to go. Are we okay to have a short song?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to give you an opportunity to respond, because I will respond. Is your response, Jesus, bring new wine out of me? I surrender all. Is that truly your response? Now, we're not going to, you know, fluff this up. You respond in the way you want to. But I would encourage you, if you can and if you're willing, kneel. Kneel down. I know some of you possibly can't do that physically, and the Lord doesn't want to exclude you. So maybe where you are, it's fine. It's in the spirit. It's fine. It doesn't matter. You might want to come to the front and just sit on the front row. You might just want to sit where you are. Kneel where you are. If you can't kneel, if you're physically unable, that's fine. The Lord knows your heart. But I would encourage you to respond. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Break through and break out. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings. Fix your eyes on him. He's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus. We give him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the glory, the Godhead. He's wonderful. And he wants to break through for you. Hallelujah. It's been wonderful to be with you this morning. Amen.